My name is Nelson Mandela.
See? It's brilliant. And you fucking know it. It's not racist. It's not racist. It's not racist.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Movie Chef Podcast, where we make a meal out of movies. I thought I'd start saying that as soon as you start drinking. I am your host, Tebs, and with me is my executive host, Cormac. Hello, my friend. It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been a while. I thought I had COVID, and I was too scared to take a test. Then I took the test, and I didn't have COVID. So I was just ill, and I'm not going to lie to you, Paul, right? I've been having great fun blowing my nose over the last 2 weeks, right? Do you know when you have, like, sinus issues when you have the cold?
Yes.
And you get stuffy and stuff like that there, and some gnarly shit can come out of your nose.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Yeah, some real gnarly stuff. I have had such great fun looking at different, all the colours of the rainbow that have been coming out of me. Sizes. It's just been amazing. It's been an amazing time.
And good morning to everybody listening to us while you eat your breakfast as well. No, I had the same cold. And again, I was too scared to take a cough. Even though you don't have to isolate or anything. You just...
Over here, you do. You still do.
Oh, you do. Right. Okay. Yeah, we don't. We can go cough it on everybody now. It doesn't matter. And I went out this week and I was quite sniffly. And I thought, if I go to this place, basically I went to the theatre. And I basically devised what can only be described as nose tampons out of toilet roll, bung them up there, face mask over your mouth, nobody can see, and I would just sat there with nose tampons up my nose. Jesus. Just because I didn't want everybody around me thinking, wow, this
guy's really that's the way of the world now. UK have decided that, you know, they don't want you to Iceland anymore, so do you know what, fucking cough and splutter over everybody.
Just go for it.
Sorry. It's allowed. Stop judging me.
I have had a really busy week, though. Usually my week is, what have you been up to, Com? No, not much. What about you? Not much. I've been to the cinema again.
Wow.
Best bit was I went to see The Book of Mormon at the Leeds Grand Theatre. Fucking hilarious.
Absolutely. Did we have any stars?
No. But then again, I'm not really au fait on my UK theatre crowd. I'm not really. Yeah, okay. There probably was. I went to see a guy who won Tony Awards when I went to see Hamilton on Broadway.
Did you go see Hamilton? Did you?
I might have mentioned it. But the guy who was playing Washington in that, apparently he'd won Tony Awards for like Oscars of Broadway for other stuff.
And I know what a fucking Tony Award is. Like, I'm not a moron.
Maybe not everybody listening. I'm trying to go BBC and trying to explain it. Fucking hell, Calm. Be professional.
I thought you were just treating me like a fucking moron.
I'm not treating you like a moron. Fucking hell, I've been doing that for 20 years. You haven't figured it out
yet.
And no, so I'm not really off it, but there were people absolutely going nuts and stuff, and I didn't recognise anybody in this time. I just didn't even bother. It was absolutely hilarious. Best bet was I had my first moment. So I walked in, we were queuing up outside, and there's just this one bloke, elderly bloke. He's got his anorak on. And he's just there going, "The Book of Mormon is a complete fabrication. Jesus Christ never went to America. They're lying to you. They're lying to you for the purposes of entertainment." I just turned around. I'm like, "Do you know what you're fucking protesting?"
It's not an actual Book of Mormon together.
Do you think we're all getting together to go and celebrate the Book of Mormon? Oh, Jesus Christ never went to America. You're all being lied to. I'm like, you fucking idiot. It's like, you don't even... They're not even trying anymore.
Like.
It's like, at least read what you're doing, you know. But, you know, it was, people have said it's racist. It's far from it. I think it highlights American attitudes towards organized religion and interacting with other cultures around the world. And there's also a song called Spooky Mormon Hell Dream, which is fucking brilliant.
Spooky Mormon Hell Dream?
Spooky Mormon Hell Dream. I just think of the guys who did South Park who made this. It's brilliant. I've just been smiling endlessly. And coming out, there are a bunch of Mormons outside, young lads from the local chapter, sect, whatever you want to call it, church.
I don't think he called it sect. I think that's a cult thing.
From the local hive. But they were outside, and you know what? One was a Swedish lad, and there were another couple that I was chatting away to them waiting for a taxi. I'm like, have you seen it? And he's like, no, but we know the story and stuff. And they're giving, and he's like, got the pamphlets there. And he had that moment from Black Books where he's like, do you want a pamphlet? I'm like, yeah, you're good enough to stand here. I'll read what you got to tell me. Oh, and he's fumbling with them like nobody's ever asked. I says, no, you come out here, and they're not protesting. They were just there saying, you've seen what the Book of Mormon is according to them. Now read what the Mormon Church is about from us. To be honest, reading between the lines, it's all very similar, but they've just got different PR people. But that was absolutely brilliant. And last night I went to see Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox live in Leeds. I bought tickets for this in September 2019, and it's been put off because of COVID over and over again. So I went to a place in Leeds last night with one of my friends, and I got very merry, and I ate lots of steak beforehand, drank lots of cider, and watched jazz, and played two of my favourite songs.
And it was brilliant. Swing dancing and stuff.
Swing dancing. There was swing dancing. There was tap dancing. It was great. It was great live music.
And Paul went right out and bought a Mighty Mighty Boston CD.
I'm not that bad. But I also went to the cinema, and this is, you know what? It's a band that I love, and it's a show that I love, and both of those, I think, still not as good as the unbearable weight of massive talent with Nicolas Cage that I went to see last weekend.
I'm looking forward to go and see it.
Go and see it. It fucking infuriates me that everyone's like, oh, there's no original cinema anymore. And you see a queue going down and around the block for Harry Potter Beasts 3 or whatever it's called. And then you've got a film like that, which is, it's satirical and it's self-referential and it's hilarious and it's funny and it's clever. It's not just some throwaway Netflix shit. It's actually got a lot to it. And Nicolas Cage, apart from Pig, gives one of his best performances for the last 15 years. Brilliant. Go and see it. Please go and see it. Put some money into it. So how's your week been apart from multicoloured snot? Cormac and his multicoloured snot face.
Genuinely, I've watched a lot of movies on what we're actually going to be talking about tonight from the year. What funny you say Black Books as well, because I actually started rewatching Black Books again, and I'm actually rethinking, you know, where it is on the list of my favorite TV shows of all time, because it was fucking phenomenal. It is a very, very, very good show. Yeah. It holds up pretty well as well. Like, but no, there's been no weird. Oh no, actually, there was a weird documentary.
Go on.
It was just that I watched that John Wayne Gacy one that was on Netflix, but it's not that bad because you know most of the stuff about Gacy. But there was a couple of ones. There's a couple of things that I never really figured out before. Like, but wasn't that weird? You know, usually I fall down a rabbit hole at 3 o'clock in the morning and start reading about weird serial killers. This one was quite a lot of people have probably watched it on Netflix. It's not the greatest. Like,
it's just, here's a guy and he dresses up as clowns and he kills people.
And they find 27 people under his house. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, apart from that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was the other one I was watching? No, I've just been, I find I've been doing so much stuff. I watched some of Black Books as well. And this morning, for some reason, I'd left my phone alarm on as if I'm working. So 7:15 on Sunday morning after going to bed at 2 last night with a fucking woke up. And you know the moment where Bernard says, oh, I woke up with a slight hangover, and it cuts to his eyes and he just opens and just screams in terror. It was like that this morning. I woke up to and my eyes just opened and my head went and I just went, threw the phone across the room and tried to go back to sleep. Oh dear. Yes, this week we are going to be talking about 1994, a vintage year. I think the 90s is the best decade. I think for film and cinema, this is stellar year.
I wrote down, right, and I'll say them when we're talking about it. I wrote down 30 movies, right, and they won't be in the top 10 box office or anything out there, movies of 1984, right. But they are 30 absolute fucking gems from 1994.
There's absolute quality there. I've been on Facebook and Twitter as well, And people have been putting in. And again, I'm sat there looking at all the big stuff. I'm doing, trying to do an overhead view of going on what the biggest, you know, we're going to look at the Oscar winners. We're going to look at the box office, personal favorites. To be honest, a lot of my personal favorites from that year fall in that category anyway. But then people replying on Facebook and they're going, oh, what about this film?
I'm it's insane. What about that one? Yeah. It's insane because obviously I checked up the Oscars, and you want to see what was big movies at the time and stuff like that there. And the five movies that are in the Oscars, right? So you got are the movie, the picture, best picture. Yeah. So you got Gump, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, Shawshank, and Four Weddings, yeah. Right? So I would say four of those deserve it.
Hang on. I was going to say four as well, but I think I know your opinion of Forrest Gump. So
yeah. See, you're going to say Four Weddings as well, aren't you? You're
going to say Four Weddings.
Fuck off, Four Weddings is a great movie.
Nah, Notting Hill's better. What else was I going to say? I've got people sharing links with me over Facebook. This is quite concerning. Getting emails of people saying, click this link. Oh, fuck off. So we're going to look at that in a minute. First of all, there is a release. Oh, next week, before you go anywhere, dear listener, next week is our second birthday.
So what, really?
Yeah, second birthday next week, around the beginning of May. So we are going to be, well, we're going to look at Doctor Strange. What I will say as well is, here's a public service announcement, and to you as well, Cobb. There's been a massive leak online. Massive. As in, somebody has released footage from the film containing one scene with three huge, huge spoilers. So if you're tempted to look, and you don't want to, but I know the feeling comes when you tempt. I did, and I spoiled it for myself.
Yeah, you see, remember that I lasted a year and nobody told me Infinity War.
I know, I can't believe that. I'm fucking raging at how you managed to get
1 year and nobody mentioned anything.
Yeah.
I worked in a game shop as well. I worked in a fucking game shop. Full of nerds.
I love that you just came out with them and just went, if anybody talks about it, you're bad. Get out.
Yeah, simple as that. Get the fuck out.
But first, there has been a trailer released. Oh, so yeah, so we're going to be doing Doctor Strange 2 next week. And then a couple of episodes later is going to be episode 100. And we are going to be discussing, because it's May the 4th this week, we're going to discuss Star Wars in about 3 weeks' time. So we are doing our Star Wars episode, and we're going to finally
put the quality entertainment that people want from us. Consistency. Quality. The number one thing that people will say about us is consistency.
There are literally dozens of people around the world wanting to know what we do. Dozens. So we'll do that. So, but first, Thor Love and Thunder had its first trailer released. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? I should hope you have.
I have, yes.
Yes. So tell me, how do you feel about Thor Love and Thunder?
First impressions, I mean, I know this means absolutely nothing, right? I know this. Terrible song choice.
Oh, awful.
Terrible. If you're putting that up against up against Led Zeppelin, if you're putting that up against the Immigrant Song, no fucking way.
It's awful.
No way.
And it's what your brother said on Twitter. He basically said, why is it that all modern day trailers now are just slowing down or speeding up or doing a cover version of some rock song, yeah. And trying to pass up. And it's like, why is Sweet Child of Mine over? It's not a peaceful, you know, peace song. It's just a rock song that's in over the top. My feeling from watching this trailer is Thor's now going on this path of self-discovery where he don't want to be king. He don't want to be a hero. He's obviously going to lose all the weight because we can't have fat Thor anymore. But obviously his quest is going to take him on. He's going to walk the earth like Jules from Pulp Fiction.
So, think about the trailer now, right? Think, put the trailer in your head, right? And put Stairway to Heaven.
And yeah.
Yeah. There you go. The rock bit, Stairway to... Dun, 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 yeah. Stairway to Heaven would have worked. Yeah. And it would have been consistent with, you know, Immigrant Song from Ragnarok. But I don't know why they've chosen. I know it's pedantic. I know it's got absolutely nothing to do with it.
But we're discussing a trailer that comes out and everyone's like, oh, I love that song. And it's like, yeah, you love that song. But have you just picked it because it's a cool song and we're trying to be cool? We want to be cool.
And I have just obviously realized as well that Natalie Portman's character is obviously going to be in the multiverse, a multiverse version of Thor.
Well, I was going
to... I don't know why I never picked up on that before.
I asked on Twitter, is it going to be the MCU's Thor, or is it going to be a variant? And I think with everything that they're doing with variants across this phase, I don't doubt that it's a variant somehow.
100%
coming through. Yeah, the fact that she's put on about 30 pound of muscle. You know, I remember at the Comic Con, was it when Taika Waititi handed Mjolnir to Natalie Portman, and he pretty much had to hold her arm up. She was like a cocktail stick holding this thing up, and you're just like, I don't mind women getting these roles, but you need to look like a fucking god if you're going to play a god. And they've just, it's got to be
the point. That's the point. You don't need to look like a god in the multiverse, because anybody can be a god.
Nah, I think she does. If you're going to play fucking Thor, you need to have a bit of muscle on you, all right? So anyway, but yeah, it didn't show us anything of Gore the God Butcher. We saw a bit of, I think it backs up as well what I'm saying, that literally the Guardians are going to drop Thor off somewhere and fly off onto their adventure. This film has come at the wrong time. The Guardians 3 was supposed to have been out by now, and I think they refilmed the end of Endgame because of James Gunn getting sacked, because Guardians 3 was supposed to come before Thor Love and Thunder, and they jigged everything around after James Gunn got sacked. So I they've got him on the poster, and they're highlighting him as a key part of this film. If they're in this longer than 15 minutes, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, that'd be the same.
Absolutely. Just from all the series. I think, you know, he's going to end up in Olympus, and we're going to see the Greek gods, and that's quite interesting. I haven't watched Moon Knight yet. I am saving all six to watch all in one go. I think that's raising a lot of questions about deities and gods. Yeah. Especially considering the Eternals and stuff.
I'm up to date with Moon Knight. Okay. And I will say this, no spoilers at all. Thoroughly enjoying it.
WandaVision, Loki, Falcon, where would you put it?
Loki top, Moon Knight second.
Okay.
Falcon, then WandaVision.
Right, okay. That's interesting. So look, I'd be interested to see a bit more. I think this obviously isn't going to be an everyday Thor peace, love going on.
Listen, you know what? We have to put our trust in Taika, because, you know, he's pulled out of the bag in most things. And do you know what I read the other day? Do you know that there's a massive, massive following online that absolutely fucking hate Jojo Rabbit?
Really?
Oh, like, I fell down a rabbit hole the other night of people who again, as what you were saying earlier on, it's people saying that it's racist, people saying that it's, you know, anti-this, anti-that, and I was like, fucking hell, I didn't pick up anything from that movie that could be construed that way at all, like.
Not at all. Jojo Rabbit is in my top five favourite films of all time.
I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I just don't understand it. But, you know, again, I'll get back to Taika. I think we have to give Taika the benefit of the doubt.
After Ragnarok, yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%. And, you know, he's got Star Wars in his pocket. He has, you know, What We Do in the Shadows in his pocket. I think he's got this new TV show as well, through piracy. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
They got Rhys Darby is like a pirate captain or something, and Taika's producing it. It's out. But also, if anybody hasn't caught up to date with Wellington Paranormal, you gotta see it. Now, listen, right. I'm gonna say this. The first three or four episodes of Wellington Paranormal were awful.
Awful. I stopped watching after two.
They were awful, right? But believe me, it gets better. And the last season is phenomenal. It is so funny. But I'm with you. First three or four episodes were absolutely awful, but it completely finds its feet in season two, like completely.
I just got you with the first two episodes of it. It were like, you know, where you get a group of film students that try to make a Taika Waititi documentary. Yeah. It were like that.
Give it its time. There's a few callbacks, obviously, to the movie What We Do in the Shadows. But it's good. It's good.
So, Thor Love and Thunder coming out this summer. I'll obviously be there. I am excited. I'm still waiting for this phase. I'm hoping Doctor Strange 2 kind of kicks off this phase Thor properly.
Yeah.
Because up to now, we've had bits of TV. What have we had in terms of films? We've had Eternals, which didn't impact anything.
Shang-Chi,
which tread water a little bit in terms of
the
overall story. No, I enjoyed it, but I mean in terms of progressing the story on. You know, in Thor, you had the Hawkeye introduction, you had the concept of for the world and stuff in Captain America. You set up the Tesseract. There was always seeds being planted, but then again, do we know about
these? Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, that's
we've gone back and watched them so much. CinemaCon was this week. Now, whereas Comic Con is for all the sweaty neckbeards that go and queue up in San Francisco for a week at a time, which granted, I would absolutely do
and
that.
Pay Norman Reedus $120 for a fucking autograph.
Yep, those CinemaCon was in Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, and it is where all the suits of the cinema industry, literally the theatres, so the heads of View and Odeon and AMC and Regal and Planeta Kino, if they're not being invaded at the time, would go and basically have presentations from the big movie studios to say, this is what we've got coming up. We need you to invest in marketing and promotion. And, you know, it's like when a company you used to work for would invite you along to go meet everybody from Nintendo, for example, yeah, because they want you talking about Nintendo games. What they want is people talking about Bullet Train that's coming out from Sony. They want you talking about Venom. They want your staff to know that there's a Black Panther coming. So this is their opportunity to sort of get in on the ground floor. Now, there was a lot of big takeaways from this. We're going to quickly go through everything, but not in fine detail. And there was one quite funny event that happened as well, which we'll cover off at the end. Sony basically went along. They've announced that Venom's coming back for a third film, which I'm fully on board with.
Yeah, I'm there.
And we've got the Brad Pitt Bullet Train, directed by David Leitch.
I'm not there.
What? Have you not seen the trailer for that?
I have. It looks shit.
Looks great fun. I'm watching it.
I can just picture them in the fucking meeting now. Think of it like this. Brad Pitt. John Wick on a train.
Right.
Let's do
What's wrong with that?
Let's do it. And now, hold back. It's Tom Cruise. But it's John Wick in an airplane. You've got it. You've done it again, Bobby. Wait. It's Steven Seagal on a boat. Oh, yeah. He's done that before.
We've done airplanes before, haven't we?
Well, that was Snakes, wasn't it?
No, we did...
Air Force One?
For Air Force One, we did movies set on a plane. Next episode, menu. Ooh. Well, after Doctor Strange 2, after that, movies set on a seagoing vessel.
There's only one, isn't there? Or two?
That's Boot.
Poseidon Speed, Adventure.
Speed 2. Under Siege.
Under Siege.
It's fucking loads of movies set on boats.
What, four?
No, we will make a menu of films set on seagoing vessels, and we're going to do that. we can even include Castaway in that if you want. And we also got Viola Davis's historical action epic, The Woman King, which is being touted as a real-life version of Black Panther.
Okay.
Now, I've seen Black Panther. I don't think real-life... I can understand some, you know, tribal chief of an old African country, very closeted, going in to fight for her people. I can buy that, but to say a real life version.
But it's Boudica. It's Boudica in Africa.
On a plane. On a seagoing vessel. On a plane. On a seagoing vessel.
God damn it, you've done it again, kid.
Disney didn't do a lot, really. But then again, they don't need to sell their films, do they? Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. They obviously said that's going to be coming at some point. Avatar 2 was announced, and obviously Avatar 2 is now part of Disney's studio. It's been announced that the next film from Avatar will be Avatar The Way of Water.
Sounds shit.
It sounds fucking awful, doesn't it, man?
I don't get it. I genuinely don't understand how like even James Cameron can go to anyone and go, right, I want to make Avatar. Oh yeah, sequel? No, seven more movies. What? Seven? Okay, can we just make two? Seven?
Well, okay, there's gonna be four sequels that have all been made. Nine. See, take away the 3D extra 3D income that Avatar 1 made, because. Yeah. Hands up, everybody listening to this. When was the last time you went to see a 3D film in the cinema?
Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Which was 2012?
About that.
2011? Right. I've never even seen 3D glasses at a cinema. I ain't seen an advert for 3D. I haven't seen any cinema showing 3D. and they say this is going to revolutionize 3D cinema again. I'm not fucking bothered about 3D. What, for some water bubbles to go floating past me while I'm trying to figure out if that one looks like Sigourney Weaver or not? Nah.
That's the thing really is now that home entertainment systems have caught up with any technology that movies can bring out.
Yep.
So going to see an event movie in the cinema, it really isn't the same as what it was.
No. And he's trying to revolutionize that. Now, apparently they showed a clip to the people in the room, the Na'vi swimming. There you go. That's about the gist.
Was there a Fern Gully too?
No, there were Fern Gully 3, 4, 5, and 6. No, that will land before time, won't it? But not.
I bet you Fern Gully 2 goes. Is Fern Gully 2 called the way the water moves?
Probably Fern Gully. The
you think that's where James Cameron gets all his fucking ideas from?
He probably does. Dances with water.
Just rips off fucking early 90s cartoons.
I bet if he fucking mentions an unobtainium again, we can get to fuck, Jesus. Awful, man. How is that the biggest? Forget it. We'll do Avatar when the next one finally comes out. I don't believe it exists. I think Cameron's just doing like a fucking Ponzi scheme or something, just constantly getting people to, he's constantly getting people
just trying to build that money up for more Terminator movies.
He's just trying to get people to invest in these Avatar sequels, and it's like, when are they coming out? Next year, not this year.
14 of them.
Oh, good news as well that apparently, we're coming on to Warner Brothers and saying, what's his name? Aquaman 2. Amber Heard's role.
You need
role.
To be careful. Amber Heard might take a shit in your bed.
Amber Heard's role has been reduced down to about 10 minutes of screen time.
Have you heard her latest name?
Amber Turd. In your bed. No, I think we've got to stay very much, because it is an ongoing case. There's a lot of legal matters. We need to stand with Johnny Depp and fuck Amber Heard.
Yeah.
So
send her down.
Send her fucking anywhere. So you know what? She puts in for a divorce with him and then says, you've got to carry on letting me and my friends live in your two penthouses in LA. Sorry, but I've met women who have been in domestic violence situations, the victims of domestic violence. I don't know any of them that went, as part of the divorce proceedings, I also get to stay living in your house. I can see you at any point. It's like, and then she said, I'll serve you the pips. She's a fucking man. I'm sure he's not perfect.
100%. But nobody with that much money and fucking time on their hands. Johnny Depp is mental. Let's be honest.
He's mental.
And
I'm not saying he is a wholly innocent party. He has probably done some shit. It was a volatile relationship.
Yeah.
But for her to sit there looking like a shit don't stink, when we've seen the evidence that it certainly does. But she sits there with this fucking glib look on her face, like she's the fucking victim, weeping in court and then laughing outside. You know what? She's a fucking... I hate it because it makes people question other victims.
Yeah.
Other women and men who come forward and say, I was a victim. Everyone's all like, oh, Amber Heard were a bit of a bitch. You know what I mean? It's just, she's a fucking parasite slut.
Paul, tell us how you really feel.
I hate it, man. She's a fucking money-grabbing cunt.
Right, let's move on from Amber Heard.
Right. We're getting Batman 2. The Batman 2.
Is this one going to be 6 hours long?
I hope so. I want it to be called The Batman Returns. And then the next one, The Batman Forever. I just want to keep it.
It'll be like Long Halloween or something like that there. Like, it will be. Death in the Family. They'll introduce somebody.
I'm hoping Hush. Because
do you think that in today's day and age that they can actually get away with a Robin character?
Yeah.
I think we're too far past. I think we're too far past. An older gentleman with a young boy ward living in the house.
Yeah, but Robert Pattinson is like what, 30 in that? So even a 20-year-old Robin would work.
So what does he do? He adopts somebody.
Well, come on, you can work around it.
His lover.
It's not going to go. I'm still going for Joker's his long lost brother.
That's a good shout.
I'm still going for that. You know, she had a kid and all that. But you can bring Robin into the next one, and then you can have Death in the Family for the last one. It's. I'm thinking they're edging towards Hush. Dr. Elliot. He basically started targeting Bruce Wayne and Batman because of perceived slights from. And he was childhood friends with Bruce Wayne. I think they wanted to keep it quite close to the Wayne family and how that has developed this Gotham. And there was hints towards Hush turning up in the first one. It's a character we've not seen on screen, I think, and it's the gory kind of aesthetic behind.
I'm still holding my fingers completely crossed for that Raid style Arkham Asylum movie that we might
third
have.
One. It's got to be third one, man. Imagine third one of Batman and Robin invading Arkham Island because Joker's taking it over.
Oh, yeah.
And then Batman finds out that Joker's his brother. And then, bang, right at the end, Joker crowbars Robin right around the face and smashes his teeth out.
Make it!
The point about Amber Heard, right? No. we also got a poster for Margot Robbie's Barbie, where I instantly went and watched Wolf of Wall Street again after looking at that.
She's just a beautiful woman.
She's a beautiful woman. She's great. And Barbie, and she actually links into one thing we're going to talk about later anyway, because she was great in I, Tonya as well.
Mm-hmm.
Timothée Chalamet. Is going to be in a prequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory called Wonka.
Oh, lethal.
I bet in England those posters on the bus shelters aren't going to get fucking graffiti.
Wagger!
Wagger! Look at your fucking face, dickhead. I always remember the Johnny Depp Sauvage adverts and people in this country just went around and changed it all to Sausage. Footage from The Flash showed, and we got another view of Michael Keaton, or rather the people with expensive jobs did. So in his new suit, etc.
Have we spoke about Ezra Miller and his Hawaiian rampage on the podcast yet?
I don't want to say anything that will get us in trouble tonight.
I don't know why he's still there. I don't know how many times that he's been arrested. He's broken into people's houses. He's assaulted people in bars. He's attacked people on the street. Like, what the fuck is going on with Ezra Miller? And why are they still? Why is he still in Hawaii? It's like he is a Batman villain.
No, they are a Batman villain. You're right. And they are still in Hawaii. And I don't know why they are still there. We've got to do it properly. Come on.
Okay.
It's 2022. Okay. So
they should have been arrested long ago. They should have been put in prison and they should have been kicked out of Hawaii a long, long time ago.
They should have been kicked out of Fantastic Beasts and The Flash, because if Johnny Depp can get kicked out of Fantastic Beasts for... Okay, let's not go there.
Damn you, Amber Heard!
Fuck her! There was one quite hilarious moment. Olivia Wilde was on stage hyping up her upcoming film Don't Worry, Darling, which amazingly has got Harry Styles in it. I don't know how he got that gig. It's almost like banging the boss gets you a role in these films, but whatever. And she was on stage and somebody went and delivered and served her with child custody documents from her ex-partner, Jason Sudeikis. She was on stage presenting.
Was it Ezra Miller?
It could have been Ezra Miller. She was on stage and somebody came up and handed her an envelope while she's on stage presenting to 1,000 people in Caesar's Palace. And she goes, oh, is it a script somebody wants me to read? And she opens it and it's basically, here's your documents, turn up to court because Jason Sudeikis wants his kids.
Jesus.
So if you have a chance to go and see that little nugget of video clip, that is quite hilarious, but not for the kids. Universal, talk to everybody. They've got Halloween Ends coming up. We got Jurassic World Dominion, The Rise of Gru. There's all sorts coming up from Universal. They're just ticking along nicely. Tick, tick, ticking along nicely. I think the main one... One that I'm mainly interested in, Jordan Peele's Nope, which is coming out this summer, his next film. So I'm interested in see that. I always like that stuff. Can't remember. And my computer's just crashed, so I can't tell you actually, because nothing on my computer's working.
All right.
Okay. So.
Thanks.
Next up.
You wouldn't get this on Mark Maron.
You wouldn't, would you? It'd probably stop recording and carry on. But then your computer catches up and you can fill time like that. Jurassic World Dominion, I think, is the one that is going to be at the big money there.
I have zero interest in Jurassic Park.
Fallen Kingdom broke it for me. That was jumping the shark. As soon as you start cloning people, that's when you jump the shark. Are you bothered about Top Gun Maverick?
I'm going to go see it, yes.
I haven't seen the first one.
Shut up.
Nah, I've seen Hot Shots that much and enough parodies of Top Gun.
Well, you may have well have seen it. You've seen Hot Shots.
I've seen enough parodies of the first one that I'll know I'll watch it and go, oh, that's that bit and that's that bit and this is that bit and there's the volleyball scene and, you know, I might have to watch it. But yeah, apparently it looks really good in IMAX. Tom Cruise was flying around and that, and hopefully Paramount can make some money off that because Mission Impossible 7 is still to come around next year.
It's Mission Impossible 7 and 8 are filmed back to back, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think they're still going with reshoots or whatever because after Tom's on-set breakdown.
Shouty, Mr. Tom.
We're all going to the fucking leaders. Lionsgate, they've got Expendables 4. With all the 80s action heroes you love, such as Megan Fox, and John Wick Chapter 4. John Wick should have finished on 3. I think that was a nice one.
I'll just keep going seeing them.
Yeah, I'll keep going to see them. And then we've got a Hunger Games prequel.
Oh, Jesus.
The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
The not-so-Hunger Games.
The kind of full up, couldn't eat another bite games. I don't see the point. Is that the interesting bit of how the Hunger Games came about? It's going to be another one of those films where it's like, we need a name for these games, President. Are they all hungry? Yes. The Hunger Games. Dun, dun, dun. And everyone in the audience will go, so that's where they got the name from. Wow. So there's CinemaCon. And there it went.
Well done. That was a good breakdown, Paul. Thank you.
Well, no, thank Variety for their detailed website.
Thank you, Variety, and Kim Newman.
So let's talk. Fuck Kim Newman. He hasn't contributed in weeks. So we're going to discuss
1994.
I was 10 for the most of 1994.
I was 11, 12.
10 years old. Hello to anybody who wasn't alive back then. We are going to be talking about ancient history right now. So.
It's not though. I have at least 40 classics written down there. I've got a quiz for you, Paul.
Oh, okay.
This is going to be tops.
Well, world events from 1994. So I'm going to take you back. The world population.
Hold on. Let me strap in. Let me go into the way back machine. Okay.
Diddly-doo. 4.3 billion people in the world. 1994. Now it's 8 billion.
Of all the things that you were going to say first, I genuinely wouldn't expect that to be the first.
Yasser Arafat and Shimon Peres and Yitzhak Rabin won the Nobel Peace Prize.
They sorted out the Middle East back then.
That sorted out, didn't it? We haven't heard a fucking peep out of them two since.
Nope. Palestine and Israel came to peace in 1984 and it all moved on. They met at Camp David with Bill Clinton and they all fucked Monica Lewinsky.
I thought you were going to say Hillary. That would have been disgusting. Hey, come here, Monica. Serbia invaded Sarajevo.
Serbia.
There was the Rwanda massacre around April of 1994. Mm-hmm. South Africa held its first interracial national elections. Guess who won? Don't do the voice.
I want to do the voice.
No, don't do the voice. Nelson Mandela. Israel signed. Now everyone's listening going, I want to know what this voice is.
Oh, just let you all know, I do a very, very good impression of Nelson Mandela.
No, you don't.
I don't think it's racist at all right? It's very, very good.
It's just society thinks it is, not just you. The IRA declared a ceasefire in Northern Ireland.
We did. The
Ulster Protestants declared a ceasefire 2 months later. So,
always second, Paul, you know.
US forces were sent to the Persian Gulf for some reason, and Russians attacked Chechnya.
You missed You missed two other big things, like.
Go on.
OJ Simpson.
Well, I'm coming on to US specific events in a minute because.
And Kurt Cobain was murdered by Courtney Love.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain was murdered this year. Clinton was accused of sexual harassment. The World Trade Center was bombed for one of the first times. Nancy Kerrigan was attacked by unknown assailants, as we found out from numerous films. O.J. Simpson was arrested for killing his wife and Ron Goldman. Nicole Brown Simpson. I was going to come to that. Which he was later found not guilty of. And... sport. No, I was just coming on to that. I was just coming on to sport there.
Stop looking. Some of my quizzes got something to do with these things, all right? Stop looking at this shit.
Okay. Top one is Brazil won the World Cup, if that was a question.
My first remembering World Cup where I fell in love with the Romanian team. Petrescu, Popescu, Hagi, Dumitrescu.
Is that the year they all dyed their hair blonde?
No, that was France 98.
Was that France 98? I went to France with school during that.
That was before the England game, I believe, where they drew 1-1 with you. And Dan Petrescu scored for Romania. And do you remember who scored for England that night?
No.
I believe it was Graham Lasso. It was two Chelsea players.
Was it?
I believe it was Sir Graham Lasso.
Right, okay. You've just broken my heart. You're just certainly not real. Yeah, the World Cup in 1994. I thought you were going to focus on that. To be honest, I don't really want to talk about football at all this evening, considering what's happening with Leeds at the minute. But
don't. I've had a tough day as well. All right,
Both of us have had tough days because of that. I was going to talk some about food, but the only websites I can find is mainly to do with Reese's Pieces. Something to do with Reese's cereal or something in 1994. So let's talk about the movie. Oh, music. What do you think is it music coming up in your quiz? This is how well we prepare, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what each other's going to talk about.
Well, that's the good thing about it. Well, part of my quiz is I've got a little music one as well. I've got a little music round.
Okay, we'll come on to music later on then. But the top films at the worldwide box office, nothing broke a billion in 1994. I think it took until about Independence Day. I don't think Independence Day did. I think it took a while for films to regularly start breaking a billion, but... top films at the box office then in 1994, we had The Lion King, animated film Lion King, at the top with 986 million. Forrest Gump, 680 million. True Lies, 365, obviously. The Flintstones, The Mask, Speed, Dumb and Dumber. A lot of comedy, a lot of family films in there, and then Four Weddings and Funeral. Interview with the Vampire, in 1994. This Mandela was really effect. Surprising. This was really surprising. Pulp Fiction was the 10th biggest film at the worldwide box office in 1994. Mm-hmm. That beat films like Stargate, The Santa Claus, Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Beverly Hills Cop 3, but Ace Ventura. Big films were coming out that year. And this little indie film in Pulp Fiction, an 18-rated film, absolutely smashed it.
That's the thing though, right? I was 11, 12 around the time when Pulp Fiction came out. And I remember the absolute heat that was behind Pulp Fiction at the time. You know, obviously winning the Palme d'Or. I remember me and my brother recording. Do you remember Sky Movies used to always have the top 10 movie things in between channels and in between movies? Me and my brother recorded the trailer for Pulp Fiction about 10 times on a VHS tape. And we watched it religiously. Now, people have to realize now, obviously, back then in the day, the most coveted thing on the planet was a copy of Reservoir Dogs. Like, it was the most coveted piece of fucking cultural artifact that anybody wanted back then. 93, 94, I remember me and Ronan going everywhere to try and find Reservoir Dogs. And then, thankfully, my parents were quite liberal and they allowed us to watch things. And I remember them taking us up to Nuts Corner in Belfast. And Nuts Corner is basically like a big, massive market, right? It's like fucking, you know, markets in Carnaby Street or something like that there in London. Like, and they sell everything. But they always sold knockoff movies. But you'd never know who was selling the knockoff movies. So I went up to this guy and he was selling games. And I noticed that they were like PlayStation were... something chipped games and things like that there on them. And I said to him, you wouldn't have movies. And he was like, oh, we have movies. And then Ronnie chipped up behind me, do you have Reservoir Dogs? He's like, oh yeah, I do have Reservoir Dogs. And we got a copy of Reservoir Dogs. And I remember going home and just, it was, Reservoir Dogs was the movie probably that got me into cinema, because I adored everything about it. And then from then on, you couldn't go wrong with Tarantino. Like, everything Tarantino touched for me was gold. I'm hunting down Natural Born Killers, hunting down fucking True Romance, hunting down Pulp Fiction. But I always remember my mum, God love her, bringing 12-year-old Cormac and 13-year-old Ronan to see Pulp Fiction and Oma, right? And my math teacher, Pat McKenna, was behind me, right? And he was full. He was out of his head drunk. And like, I got up at the end of it. And he kind of got that kind of shocked look in his face. He was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I really wanted to see Pulp Fiction. So he was like, so did I. And that was it. That was the only conversation. But like, Pulp Fiction was just, it was a phenomenon. You know, it was an absolute, and it was an absolute social phenomenon. And that's why, obviously, it got so much money.
I remember, Reservoir Dogs came out, and it was one of those, I think, around that time. I mean, you've got to understand, back in 1994, obviously there was no streaming. There was no DVD. Yeah. It was VHS. Your film came out in a cinema, maybe 40 miles away from you. And this is in the UK, so US is probably different. But your closest cinema that might be showing Reservoir Dogs, maybe 30, 40 miles away. And then they go on rotation. So after about 6 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever, it then go to your local smaller towns where they might show it for a week. And if you miss it, you miss it. And it'll go. And they were literally passing the reels around from cinema to cinema. And then it'd come out on VHS. But it wasn't like today where you've got loads of availability. There were specific shops that sell VHS. And if they had it, they had it. And if they didn't, they didn't. And you couldn't go online and buy it. You had to order it in, and it might take 6 weeks to turn up.
Yeah.
I remember one year my dad got Reservoir Dogs. There was a bloke, we had a bloke as well, I think every town's had a bloke, but there was a bloke that used to sell knockoff tapes and knockoff VHSs on Headrow in Leeds, £3 each, 2 for a £5, and he'd have his suitcase out and he had all these. And my mum bought Forrest Gump for my brother, The Mask for me, and just before that she must have got Reservoir Dogs for my dad, because she gave him it for his birthday, and he put it on, and it's like 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, family sat on bed, and suddenly the opening scene from Reservoir Dogs are like talking about Madonna doing anal and stuff, and it's like I think we'll switch that off. And I was too young, I was 10, I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. But then Pulp Fiction came out and we got the same copy, and he's like, oh, I think you better watch that another time. And then it were on BBC following week, so I just stuck it on that. It was brilliant. But no, that for me, I mean, look, let's go. I wanted to go straight in and say, what do we think the best film was of 1994? But we'll do that in a...
I'm going to do this first, right?
So we'll do that in a bit.
I'll do my first 10. Of the 30 movies that I wrote down, right? I'm gonna name my first 10, right?
Go on.
So as I say them, you tell me if you've seen them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, A Perfect World.
Not bad.
Hudsucker Proxy.
Yeah.
Clerks.
Obviously.
Adam's Family Values.
Better than the first.
Airheads.
Going to mention that Sean on Facebook mentioned Airheads.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that in years. I think I need to go back and watch that.
Ed Wood.
Never watched it.
No, definitely should. Road to Wellville.
Yes. Yeah. Is that
with
where
Hopkins, Anthony Hopkins.
Hopkins is trying to get all the women off in his
He's Kellogg. He's Kellogg.
Serial
Mom.
Serial Mom. That is great. Was that John Walters?
John Waters, yeah.
Yeah. My mate used to go to my mate Adam's house. His mum had that and she wouldn't let us watch it. So every time she went out, we used to put it on.
Fucking great movie. Cool Runnings.
Fantastic.
And I mean, number 10, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yep, Charlotte on Facebook mentioned, said Priscilla, Queen of the Desert was her favourite film, 1994. Yeah, I mean, that's brilliant there. But I mean, I always say this and I always bring it up, and until we get him on the show, Leon in 1994, the actor Leon, was in Cool Runnings and Cliffhanger in the same year. What quality is that? Obviously, I just want to say as well, 1994 did see the passing of John Candy, which was absolutely heartbreaking. But
do you remember what his last movie was?
Wagons East.
There you go. Well done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just ruined your quiz for later on.
Nope.
But yeah, absolutely. So there's your first 10. So looking at that top 10, I mean, it is a fantastic year for film. I mean, even going further down, there may not be brilliant films, but Time Cop, Street Fighter.
Iconic.
And this was the year Natural Born Killers came out, which I think we can't say is a...
Technically is. It's like True Romance. Technically, True Romance is like...
And then we're going to go down and we're going to look at the top rated films on IMDb, because I don't really trust like stuff where people can influence it too much. 53rd top film of the year, 28 million worldwide, The Shawshank Redemption, which mm-hmm. came out. 9.3 on IMDb. It's one of the biggest rated films on IMDb, rated as arguably the best film of all time. Would you say that for Shawshank? Best film of all time?
I thoroughly enjoy Shawshank.
Yeah.
I think Shawshank is one of those movies that is universal, that touches on a lot of issues. You know, that whole kind of thing of an innocent man, you know, and we all know he's innocent, you know, or is he, you know, being in prison. Mm. I think it just touches on a lot of issues. Then you get Tim Robbins, you get fucking Morgan Freeman. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
It's not the best movie. It's a good movie.
I don't think it deserves best movie of all time.
No.
I really don't. But, I mean, I think back to films like Green Mile when I think of Shawshank. I'm like, well, can you, you know, prison drama. Mm-hmm. Where would you put Green Mile against Shawshank? I think Green Mile is...
No, I would say Shawshank's better than Green Mile.
Okay.
It's very... Green Mile is very schmaltzy.
We also had the number 5 of 1994 on IMDb at 8.5 rating is Leon, mm-hmm. directed by Luc Besson with Jean Reno, Gary Oldman, Natalie Portman. Oh, I watched The Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman as well, playing Winston Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they mention how they starved the people of Bengal?
No.
How he created the black and tans to put them in Ireland to kill Catholics?
No, they skipped over
that. No, they missed that bit. All right, okay.
He was very supportive of an interracial relationship on an underground train, which I don't know how specific to real life that was. But yeah, that always gets rated as one of the best sort of action crime dramas, assassins, what have you. Very good. Introduced Natalie Portman. Speed.
Yeah.
7.3. That's up there.
7.3?
Yeah, on IMDb. Sixth best film on IMDb from 1994.
I know.
Yeah. I would put that up there with Rock, Air Force One, Speed.
100%. Do you know when we're talking about movies? You know, I think me and you are the same. I like to put them into categories. You can't judge LA Confidential up against Old School. You know what I mean? I love them both equally, but you know, you need to put them into little categories for what they are: best horror movies, best comedy movies, best action movies, stuff like that. There, but Speed. Speed is 100% up there. One of the greatest action movies. And, you know, you look at that run that Keanu Reeves was on as an action movie star. And even now, he's still there. You know, you look at it. What was his first action movie? Point Break?
Yeah.
91? Point Break? And he is still, if you stick John Wick in the cinema, it'll make 500 million.
Easily. And then we had the emergence of Jim Carrey as well.
Oh, yeah.
Former menu... Target. What's another word for it?
Recipient.
Recipient. Menu recipient. We had The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura, all releasing in 1994. And
just I think insane.
And I think it were around. I read an interesting thing on this the other day. So basically, he did Pet Detective and The Mask for around, you know, a few million a piece, maybe less than that, and then he started getting big. So Dumb and Dumber. They paid him, I think, about 10 million or something like that. I can't remember the actual numbers. But then when it came to doing The Cable Guy, like a year later, he wanted 20 million because he were making fortunes from all these films. And all the other studios were pissed off because their big stars started asking for parity. They wanted 20 million, they wanted 50 million, 15 million for doing these comedies and stuff. So they were bad-mouthing and blacklisting Cable Guy to lose its popularity so he didn't make any money. And it's one of those things, I've never seen Cable Guy. But I remember so many people tell me how crap it is.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
Cable Guy is one of those movies where Cable Guy would come out today and it would be one of those underground classic movies. You know, it would be like an Anchorman, something that went under the radar at the box office, but just built at home cinema, and people just became into a cult classic. It way ahead of its time, way ahead of its time.
We had a couple of indie comedies or British, you know, I don't know what you call them nowadays, but Muriel's Wedding made 15 million.
Amazing movie.
Absolutely, yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. And Four Weddings and a Funeral, which spawned Love Is All Around from Wet, Wet, Wet. I think they're at number one for about 15 weeks. 15 weeks at number one with Love Is All Around. I think they kept Wigfield Saturday Night off. When we were queuing up the other night to go to the gig in Leeds, the jazz gig, it's next door to Pop World. And on the side, it was Wigfield, Saturday, 6th of August, entry, £20. And it was like special appearance from Wigfield, and it was a picture of her from the 90s. And I'm like, there's not a fucking prayer she still looks like that.
I remember going to see Chesney Hawks in Carlisle.
Walkabout.
Yeah, the Walkabout. Yeah,
and he's like, okay, so here I am singing the one and only. Yeah. Now I'm going to sing one off my new album. Fuck you, Chesney, singing the one and
just
only.
Keep singing one and only.
Just keep singing one and only. Right, you're getting paid £2,000 to turn up here.
All right, I'm going to do my next 10, right?
Go on, do your next 10.
Some of you've mentioned. So number 11, Wayne's World 2, far better than Wayne's World 1.
Yes.
Shawshank, we've talked about. Street Fighter, we've talked about. Leon, we've talked about. Reality Bites, Winona Ryder. Do you remember that movie?
No, I don't.
Watch it. It's great.
Okay.
In the Name of the Father, Daniel Day-Lewis. One of my favorite movies as well that always goes under the radar. It's a Ron Howard movie. Do you remember The Paper with Michael Keaton?
I've seen it. I can't remember it. I know
It's about the newspaper editor and whether they're going to run a story about the two black kids that are being put down as killing a cop.
Right, okay.
It is a fucking phenomenal movie. Absolutely. Randy Quaid, you know, wasn't mental. Well, he was kind of mental, but not really mental. Like, but The Paper, Ron Howard's The Paper. It is a fucking great movie. Number 18, Time Cop. Number 19, The Crow. And number 20, Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Yeah. I won't say it's better than the other two, but it was
That one scene with Anna Nicole Smith in the silhouette where she takes off the dress and the big bendy penis.
'94 as well, big year for sort of we had Richie Rich with Macaulay Culkin trying to get away from that Home Alone kind of thing. I remember renting that as a kid. He's like, he's got a McDonald's in his house. It was one of those films. There was this kind of obsession in the early 90s with just giving kids all the money. And it's like fantasy for young kids, isn't it? Just there was Blank Check that came out as well. And it was around was it like Getting Even with Dad and all these kind of films? This childhood kind of fantasy about being able to just outdo your grown-ups.
It's like Disney-esque movies. Remember when in the 60s and the 70s did a lot of like Kurt Russell movies like that?
Yeah.
The Computer Wears Tennis Shoes and stuff like that there. Like, it was kind of like the new take of any Disney movie.
There was a lot of them. So in terms of the best, and that's public. In terms of the Oscars then, so for the films that were released in 1994, the 67th Oscars. We'll start with the big one then. Best Picture was won by Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Also up against Four Weddings and a Funeral.
It's Pulp not Fiction, even the best movie in the nominations.
Pulp Fiction, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Quiz Show, Shawshank. Now, I admitted I've been wanting to watch Quiz Show for quite a while and I've never got around to watching it. I've never got around to watching it.
The one thing that surprised me when I was looking at the nominations is that John Turturro wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actor from Quiz Show because he was phenomenal in Quiz Show.
Okay, I get the gist of it. You know, I get the gist from what it's about, but I've always had that in top of one mind that I really want to watch it. But should Forrest Gump have won Best Picture then over Pulp Fiction?
Not at all.
No.
It shouldn't have won it over Shawshank. It shouldn't have won it over Four Weddings, and it shouldn't have won it over Quiz Show.
I'd put Forrest Gump over Four Weddings, I'll be honest. But Four Weddings is good. I don't think it's great, but it's all right. I won't say
so. I enjoyed it. I think it's far better than Notting Hill.
Okay, you're wrong, but that's fine. Best Director, Robert Zemeckis for Forrest Gump. Robert Zemeckis for Forrest Gump up against Woody but Allen.
Have to look at it, right? You have to look at it in terms of this, right? And this is what always annoys me, right? In my head, there is before Pulp Fiction and after Pulp Fiction in cinema, right? And I think anybody who watches movies, studied movies, does anything with movies will say exactly the same thing. Yes, Tarantino steals tropes from everybody, but he does it better than anybody. And I'm sure that there's other movies that have done, you know, the same kind of thing of the movie being scattergun and, you know, start of the movie at the end of the movie at the start, you know, when it's all the stories cut up in between and, you know, linking all the stories together. And, you know, 100%, I'm sure it's been done before, but it was never done as well as what Pulp Fiction had it at. And for anybody to turn around to put Gump ahead of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. I remember the impact of Pulp Fiction because everybody afterwards tried doing the broken up narrative thing.
100%. And even like British movies. You remember?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of that British movie where it's the kids working in the supermarket and they want to go on a night out. It was about 96, 97. It came out.
I'm not sure.
Go, was it called?
Called what?
Go.
I know there was, I don't know if it was British, but I know there was a film around that time called Go, but.
But the, every, well, anyway, yeah. every movie for 2 or 3 years had that trope, had the Tarantino West trope in Pulp Fiction. And, you know, as good as people want to say fucking Forrest Gump is, like, it's just, it's not a patch. It's not a patch. And even like the Three Colors movies came out that year as well.
Yeah. Well, the only film that I've thought, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of comparing, having a signposted note for film. So for me, in terms of narrative storytelling, Pulp Fiction, there's stuff that came out before that and after that. Yeah. And everyone tries to copy what went before. For me, I judge a film's special effects by, did it come out before Star Wars or after Star Wars? Mm-hmm. If it came out in the early 70s, you're like, all right, I'll give you a pass on this. If it came out 84, 85 and it looks shit, you're like, mm-hmm. No, because it is, you are capable of doing better.
And you can put that as well down to Jurassic Park, you know, before yeah. Jurassic Park, after Jurassic Park.
Yeah. In terms of that storytelling device, you know, where you kind of break it all up and have it revolve around a central theme and et cetera. Alejandro Iñárritu did Amores Perros back in 2000. Absolutely stunning film. I absolutely love that film. That did it. Spot on. That was absolutely incredible.
Would Amores Perros have existed without Pulp Fiction?
Don't know. We never know. So, look, we got that. And Robert Zemeckis winning Best Director over, well, we're going against Woody Allen for Bullets of Broadway, QT for Pulp Fiction, Robert Redford, Quiz Show, and Krzysztof Kieślowski for Three Colors Red. So, again, I think there's much better. I get the impact Forrest Gump had in terms of the character, in terms of, you know, but for Tom Hanks to go and win Best Actor second year running, he won it for Philadelphia in 93, he won it for Forrest Gump in 94. Again, we're going up against Morgan Freeman from Shawshank, Nigel Hawthorne from Madness of King George, John Travolta for Pulp Fiction. Now, against all them, Paul Newman for Nobody's Fool, maybe Nigel Hawthorne might get a shout.
I would have went Nigel Hawthorne. I think Nigel Hawthorne was outstanding in The Madness of King George.
But I get, you know, you've got this opportunity to give somebody the Oscar 2 years running. Two totally different characters. Tom Hanks always deserves everything he's got. Best Actress, Jessica Lange won for Blue Sky. Up against Jodie Foster from Nell. Little Jodie Foster, I remember her. Miranda Richardson for Tom and Viv. Winona Ryder for Little Women. Susan Sarandon for The Client. I think that's all right for Jessica Lange. I remember in that. It's...
Yeah, Uma Thurman not even nominated for... supporting or for Best Actress?
She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Right, okay.
She went up against, I mean, look at this for an array of talent. Diane, is it Weist? Weist? W-I-E-S-T, mm-hmm. Weist, for Bullets Over Broadway. Rosemary Harris for Tom and Viv. Helen Mirren, Madness of King George. Uma Thurman for Pulp Fiction. And Jennifer Tilly, Bullets Over Broadway. Oscar nominated Jennifer Tilly. as well, that's the other one I can't get over, as well as the Oscar-winning Suicide Squad from 2015. Best Supporting Actor, Martin Landau for Ed Wood won that. I think Samuel Jackson should have won for Pulp Fiction. Gary Sinise, Forrest Gump, etc. QT did win for Pulp Fiction for the best screenplay, written directly for the screen. Can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. No.
I wouldn't even go. I'd start going to, oh, maybe Four Weddings and a Funeral. Richard Curtis might win it, but no.
No.
No. And Forrest Gump won for the other one. Best original score was won by The Lion King. Best sound effects editing, Speed, the Oscar-winning Speed. I never knew Speed was Oscar-winning. Best original song.
What year was it again?
1994.
So it was Lion King. Can you feel
love tonight? Can I just say, there's a big piss take of the whole idea that everybody believes that Africa, you know, from Book of Mormon, that Africa is Disney-fied. And they were saying, do you have a saying for Hakuna Matata? Does it mean no worries? Everyone's just cool and laid back. And the guys, I won't do the voice, but the guy's like, yes, we have our own saying. It is this, and I'm not going to say it. And there's a song that breaks out. And you could imagine you're watching some Disney animated film. You could imagine you're watching a Lion King film from the way the song is. But I'm not even going to put it at the end of the episode. yep, you're absolutely right. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? One. Up against Circle of Life, music by Elton John, lyrics by Tim Rice, and Hakuna Matata, music by Elton John, lyrics by Tim Rice.
If he hadn't won, like...
also, Make Up Your Mind from The Paper, lyrics by Randy Newman, and Look What Love Has Done from Junior, Oscar-nominated
Junior.
what have we got here? Best visual effects. True Lies, The Mask, Forrest Gump. Which one?
True Lies.
Nope, Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump had better visual effects
than than the exploding fucking bridge in True Lies and Jodie Foster going out the top of the fucking sunroof.
Jamie Lee Curtis, but yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, sorry.
Forrest Gump took home 6 awards. Ed Wood won 2, The Lion King won 2, Speed won 2. Speed won 2? Hang on.
Best Keanu Reeves.
Best Keanu Reeves. Best Jeff Daniels.
Keanu Reeves!
It's like the Ant and Deco. The National Television Awards in the UK, every year, they have best screen presenters or best screen presenting group or whatever. And every year it's Ant and Deco. They've won it like 12 years in a row. And you just got to think, fucking just give it to somebody else. So, yeah, it was the year Forrest Gump cleaned up, really, which is devastating. But
okay, I'm going to name the next 10.
Give us your next 10.
Okay. So, again, there's some of the ones. I think we spoke about all these. I guess it's about some. Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, Stargate, Maverick, The Mask, Speed, Mrs. Doubtfire. That's not 10. That's only 8. But there you go.
And I'm sure you were going to say, let's have a look, The Flintstones and Wolf.
Wolf? I don't remember Wolf.
Do you not? With Jack Nicholson. It's where he's turning into a wolf.
Turned into what, sorry?
A wolf.
Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't think of that.
Gets bitten and turns into a wolf. Natural Born Killers, I was going to mention there as well. But look, I think just the amount of quality films, anybody could say to me about any of those we've been talking about today. And look at that, there's 30 to 40 quality films.
It's ridiculous. Do you know what? That's only the ones that I picked out. Do you know what I mean? That's just the ones that personally to me that I thought, you know what, me and you are probably on the same wavelength, that we would love those movies. There were at least 30 more that I could have wrote in there. Like, but my quiz, Paul, do you wanna take my quiz challenge on?
Go on then.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
So 1994. So who won Wimbledon in 1994? Was it Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi? I'll give you a variant.
All right, okay.
Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, or Bjorn Borg?
Too late for Bjorg. I'll go Agassi.
Pete Sampras.
Oh, so, big love as well to Boris Becker, starting year, 2.5 years.
So what made more money? The Flintstones, The Mask, or Mrs. Doubtfire?
I've just been looking at these and mm-hmm. think that I'd remember what they are. And I've turned my screen off now, so I can't say. I want to go The Mask.
Is that your final answer?
The Mask, Mrs. Doubtfire, or what?
The Flintstones.
I'll go The Mask.
The Flintstones?
Flintstones made more?
Ah, ridiculous.
Jeezy crazy. Okay. That was, I mean, I remember watching the Flintstones movie and I'm just there thinking, how can you miss with this? How can you miss with this? And it's a fucking storyline to do with embezzlement.
Hold on. They missed?
Come on, it wasn't exactly great, was it?
Get fucked. All right, great movie. Here we go, number three. Which TV show premiered on September 22nd, 1994? Was it Friends? Was it Frasier? Or was it
Right, I know and Friends came out in the same year. September 22nd,
1994. Was it Frasier?
Did Frasier come out in 94? I don't think it did. I think it had one less series, but the ended in. I'll go Friends.
And you'd be right.
Hey.
So 1990. You haven't won anything. You haven't won the quiz yet. There's two more questions.
All right.
So, which was the first newspaper to have a website? Was it the New York Times? Was it the London Times? Or was it the Irish Times?
I'm going to go the Irish Times.
And you'd be right!
There's only one fucking reason you'd ask that question.
Okay, so this is one for all the gravy, all right? You get this one, you win the whole round. Ooh. Okay?
Okay.
And you're not going to get any multiple choice.
That's fine.
Okay. You just keep your fucking hand away from that computer as well. Which Doctor Who won an Oscar this year?
Oh, fuck's sake. 1994.
Which Doctor Who won an Oscar this year? Which Doctor Who won an Oscar this year?
Shut up. Right, let me have a think. Won an Oscar in 94. We've just been talking about it.
You take all the time you want for the next 10 seconds.
Right, Forrest Gump. Robert Zemeckis never played Doctor Who, did he?
Nope.
I don't think Sylvester McCoy. Was Tim Rice?
Did Sylvester McCoy not win an Oscar that year?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Who would won an Oscar? What's, unless Sylvester McCoy, which suddenly...
Three... Like, two, one. I Paul need an answer,
Paul. Paul McGann. Was it Sylvester?
Peter Capaldi.
Oh, fuck off.
Peter Capaldi won an Oscar for Best Short Movie with Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life in 1994.
If you'd have said which future Doctor Who.
Right, but it's not a future Doctor Who.
That wasn't the fucking question, is it?
That's not the fucking question. Okay, I'll let you, all right, okay, here we go. Here we go. I'll let you redeem yourself, okay?
Yep.
If you can name me two of the top three biggest music or biggest songs of the year in the UK. You already know one of them. You already told me one of them.
Love Is All Around.
Love Is All Around.
Wigfield, Saturday Night.
Mm-hmm. That's two. Well done. You get the third, you're it. Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
It was Christmas number one.
East 17, Stay Another Day.
Stay Another. Well done. That's stay you. You
I only remember that because I did a Christmas quiz for people at work and I did, they're all doing my editing with Christmas songs. So I did a Christmas round playing songs off Spotify. And I tell you what, half of them didn't know what that song was.
Really?
Yeah. And these people were all born, like I say, from like 95 onwards.
Okay.
I didn't know that was E17. You don't even know E17. Yeah. No, that was lovely. So I've won all the gravy.
I have to take all the gravy and ship it over to Leeds. I'm devastated. All my gravy.
Well, I was looking at the top selling UK songs. I mean, you'd think it'd be obvious that we're going to end our episode on Love Is All Around with Wet, wouldn't you?
It's no, the top because Marty Pella wants to shoot all Catholics up against the wall.
Or it could be Hasadiga Evil Eye from Book of Mormon, but we'll figure it out. So can I put Wet on just to annoy you?
Go for an eye rig here.
Wasn't he a big junkie?
I don't know if we can say that, Paul.
Can to we? Hang on.
To be fair, I did say Courtney Love murdered Kurt Cobain. So
yeah, I've said a couple of things about Amber Heard, but To be honest, nobody listens anyway. oh yeah, he talked in the year 2000 about his crippling addiction to heroin. Okay. It was Marty Pelo was riddled with it.
Marty Pelo seems to be one of those people that every 5 years there's news breaking that he's broke. Do you know what I mean? There's people that are always bankrupt, and Marty Pelo seems to be one of those people.
In the year 2000, he said, "All I wanted was to be alone with my smack." Said any heroin addict out there. Right, there's Night Night 4. Next week, Doctor Strange
1995! Sorry.
we're going for it. Next week, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. We'll be getting our analysis.
Spoilers.
We're saying it now, so if you don't listen to every episode, joke's on you by the time we get to next week. We'll probably talk Moon Knight or the first bit of it. If you listen to us on Spotify, just click the little star and give us a 5-star rating, and that'd be lovely, so you can tell us how good we are. If you listen to someone on Apple, it's always good to give us a review. It helps people see us and listen to us. We have got a Facebook page, at Pod Movie Chef. Find us on Facebook. You're in small company. Twitter, at Pod Movie Chef. Instagram.com.
Yep.
Okay. Somebody said we should do TikTok. I'm like, what the fuck are we going to do on TikTok?
I'm too old for TikTok. I know this. Well, I would only get TikTok to look at girls doing fitness videos. That's it. Well, that's it.
Did I not tell you that at work? What happened?
I said, did you do a TikTok fitness video?
No, I said, I've got TikTok here, and all I'm seeing is pictures of women jiggling the boobs around.
That's it. That's all TikTok is.
I'm swiping through, and I'm like, there's a woman doing fitness, and there's a woman doing a jiggling of boobs, and somebody just went, you know that's all the stuff you're following, don't you? I'm like, what? I must have looked like a right dirty bastard doing just all these young lasses jiggling the boobs at the side of the things. I'm just like, what? It's like that guy. Oh, can I just say a big shout out to the guy, I'm not even going to mention him, but the guy who thought it was all right to watch porn in the Houses of Parliament.
No, I put in tractors. I put in tractors. And for some reason, porn actors came up.
Oh no, in fact, fucking name and shame. This is Neil Parish, MP for Tiverton and Honiton since 2010. It was in the chamber, this is our chamber, this is our democracy, our heart of democracy. And while there's a debate going on, depending on what happens with people's lives around the country, A, he thought, I'm going to look at some tractors. And then B, he thought, what does this link do? Or somebody sent me the link and I clicked it, and then 20 minutes later I actually looked at it again by accident.
I like his excuses as well. I tried putting in tractors, porn actors came up, and then they're like, right, but what, the second time? He's like, second time I meant it. Well, why not just say the first time as well, Neil, you fucking pervert.
It's like, just God, if you could, I can't imagine watching porn in public. It's like,
but in work, like in it's like me behind the cash desk, you know, watching porn. Yeah.
But apparently he wasn't having a ham shank, he was just going, you know, he was just watching a bit of porn.
Is that not worse?
It is. It's like you're sat in there, you're sat in work. Imagine you're sat in work. Now imagine you're surrounded by 300 colleagues.
Yeah.
Now imagine that you're in the seat of democracy for the United Kingdom. And then you go, fancy watching a bird get roasted 4 ways from Sunday.
But porn is very mechanical, right? The only reason you're watching porn is for one reason, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Never in my youth or my age that I am now have I ever thought, you know what? I think I'll cheer myself up a bit and just watch a wee bit of porn.
Yeah. I'll just watch a bit of porn, see how it goes, you know, maybe catch the last 20 minutes of it tonight on my way home from work.
Yeah.
But this guy decided to ruin his life. Apparently his wife's sticking by him.
Because he'll be getting a peerage in about 5 years.
And that's a wife who hasn't got a prenup. That's all I'm saying. So give us a review, give us a follow. If you like us, tell your friends. If you don't like us, thanks for listening anyway. Give us a bit of insight.
The fuck you didn't listen anyway? You don't like us?
You don't like us? What the fuck?
Right, you've listened right to the end. You don't like us?
Yeah, you fucking weirdo. And you did nothing mechanical with it while you were listening. Anything more from you, buddy?
Nothing.
Okay, I'm going to go get awfully excited about seeing Doctor Strange 2 and try to avoid those leaks.
Same, I'm not going to get anywhere near leaks.
All I'm going to say is...
No!
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.